Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith is essential. It's a crucial element in our salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's a crucial element in our daily walk with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So we live our daily lives as Christians by faith. Last week I talked a little bit about the faith of Eunice. Today I want to talk a little bit about the faith of Noah. Usually when we talk about Noah and his story, it's a, you know, we think about the ark and all the animals, and it's a cute little story that we tell our kids, and we decorate the nurseries with the animals and all those sorts of things. Really, the story of Noah is anything but cute. It is the story of the destruction of the human race and the animals that were on the earth, except, of course, for those who were in the ark. And so it's really not a cute story at all, but we tell it that way. And it is also a story of Noah's faith, of great faith. So I want to talk about that this morning. Genesis chapter 6, we'll start in verse 13 and finish that chapter. "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep thee alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Three things I want to notice about Noah's faith this morning. First of all, faith believes the word of God. God told Noah that he was going to destroy all mankind, that he was going to destroy the earth. And somewhere in there he mentioned a flood, and probably he told him it was going to rain. Now, Noah, it had never rained before on the earth. Noah didn't know what rain was. But Noah believed the word of God. I want to make a distinction here. I'm not talking about believing in God. Most people believe in God. The Bible says that the devil believes in God. I'm talking about believing God. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to what the Bible... It's funny how you can read things year after year. Maybe most of your life you can read things in the Scripture and not register what it says. I want you to listen to Romans 4, 3. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Not Abraham believed in God. Abraham believed God. Everybody here this morning, I'm sure everybody in this room this morning believes in God. We believe He exists. Whatever your concept of God may be, most people in the world believe in a God. They believe a God exists. But do you believe His words? If you believe His words, if you believe God, it will change your attitude. It changed Noah's attitude. If you believe God's word, there's no need for fear. We Christian people are afraid. We live. I know society is sinful and it's difficult, and I know the future looks bleak. And I got all that. For the unsaved, the future looks bleak. Listen, for the Christian, the future looks wonderful. There's no need for fear if you believe God's word. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So if you believe God's word, it'll change your attitude about fear. There's no need for fear. If you believe God's word, there's no need for worry. Philippians, this is a tough one, isn't it? Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Worry about nothing, pray about everything. It's hard not to worry, isn't it? We worry. If we're afraid, we worry. If we're not afraid, we worry that we're not afraid. So it's, but if you believe the word of God, not in God, if you believe Him, there's no need to worry. If you believe God, there's, write this one down, folks. There's no need to yield to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer," that means allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, "but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." We kind of laugh jokingly and say, well, you know, the devil made me do it. I couldn't help it. But listen, I've talked to people. I've had them tell me, "Now, Pastor, listen, I'm tempted in ways that you've never dreamed of. I'm tempted in ways that nobody else in the world has ever been tempted." 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And with the temptation, God won't even allow you to be tempted above what you can handle, and will with the temptation make a way of escape. We do not have to yield to temptation. We do it. Careful. We do it because we want to. But we don't have, if you believe God's word. Now, if you don't believe God's word, we're talking a whole different ball game. But if you believe God's word, you don't have to yield to temptation. If you believe God's word, you know that your sins can be forgiven. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's true for Christians as well as the unsaved, if you believe it. If you believe God's word, I've got several other verses I'm going to read. I'll try not to say too much about them, but they'll change your attitude if you believe what they say. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I said I wouldn't say too much. I might have fibbed a little. Peace. Peace. One of the greatest gifts of Christianity is peace. You lay down at night and you close your eyes and everything is quiet and there's peace. John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, I'm not one of these guys that says Christians ought to walk around with a smile on your face all the time and be bouncing and be bopping around. I understand sometimes, you know, we don't smile. I got that. But listen, the Bible says, be of good cheer. You know, it's okay. Things are all right. I understand the mess. I understand the difficulties. I understand the temptation. But it's okay. Jesus has overcome. We can be of good cheer. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." John 14:2-3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Listen, if you believe the word of God, God is with us now. God has overcome all that we will face already. We can be of good cheer. He is preparing a place for us, so our future is greater beyond all imagination or expectation. If you believe the word of God, it will affect your attitude. Christians, sometimes we have a bad attitude, and we shouldn't if we believe the word of God. Faith not only believes the word of God, faith does the work of God. Noah believed God. That affected his attitude, and his attitude affected his actions. He got busy and he started doing things. Now, again, I told you, he didn't know what rain was.
it never rained before in the world, but God said it was going to rain, it's going to flood, and he believed it was going to rain and going to flood. So he got busy doing what God told him to do. Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Noah had a big job. The ark was 450 feet long. That's over, if you stand it on end, that's over four stories tall. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. I got to thinking about that this week. You know, when we think of work, we think of work in our context. If I think of building something today, I think of getting out the power saw and the drill and all these tools, the table saw and all that. Listen, Noah cut every piece of lumber by hand. He milled every piece of lumber by hand. He had no power saws. He went out and he gathered the pitch by hand. He put all of that 450 feet long, 75 feet high. He put all of that together by hand. I don't know how he cut the holes. Maybe he cut the holes and made little dowel rods. I don't know how he put it together, but he did it all by hand. 120 years it took him to build the ark. 120 years of no rain. But he believed it was going to rain because God said it. When I think of that, this is what I think about. We say as Christians, we say, well, Jesus is coming. Well, he's coming soon. It's been over 2,000 years since he left the first time, right? Since he ascended back into heaven, it's been over 2,000 years. But we believe he's coming back. And if we believe he's coming back, it'll affect our actions. We'll do his work. I wonder how many times, guys, I wonder how many times during that 120 years that Noah's wife asking, "Now, honey, are you sure? Right? Thank you. Honey, the neighbors are complaining. This monstrosity in the backyard. The homeowners association, we've gotten several letters. Honey, are you sure? It's been 60 years, dear, and it hasn't rained a drop. Nobody even knows what rain is. You keep saying it's going to rain. What is it?" Don't you think Noah's sons and his daughters-in-law were a little embarrassed by the old man? Noah, listen, Noah was the crazy guy down the street. Right? We look at Noah, we think he's a great man of faith. Look what the world was sinful. That's why God was going to destroy mankind. They thought Noah was crazy. He's one of those fanatics. He's that guy standing on the street corner with the long hair and the beard and the shabby clothes and the sandwich sign that says the end is near. That was Noah. His family, his friends, his neighbors mocked him. They criticized him. They made fun of him. Listen, they may have come by every day to watch him work and harassed him. 120 years, folks. 120 mornings. 120 years of mornings. He got up. Don't you think there were some mornings when the alarm clock went off and he rolled over in bed and his muscles were sore. He had splinters in his hands and calluses on his hands. And he thought, oh, today, not today. Today, I'm sleeping in. But he believed God's word. And it affected his actions. James 2:17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Amen. Christian, if you truly believe the word of God, you will do the work of God. Faith will produce works. Faith will produce actions. If there are no works in your life for the cause of Christ, there is no faith. I didn't say that. Jesus, the Word of God, said, faith without works is dead. Not weak, not tried, not lingering, not faltering. Faith without works is dead. It doesn't exist. If there are no works, there is no faith. We have a million excuses, don't we? I've used almost all of them. I've heard almost all of them. Well, it's too hard. The work is too hard. It will take too long. I may have to give something up, and if I do, it will cost too much. That's the big one. It will cost too much. I may have to do it alone. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough education. We've got a million and one excuses about why we're not doing the work. The problem is all of those excuses come from a place of unbelief. We don't do it because we don't believe it. Faith without works is dead. We say we believe the Word of God, but we don't do the Word of God because somewhere deep down in our souls, we don't really believe the Word of God. I believe in God. I think he's up there. I think he's on the throne. I think he's that old gray-haired fatherly figure that's... Some people think he's just sitting waiting to afflict everybody, and some people think he's just sitting up there and just going to overlook everything that happens. We believe in God, but do we believe God? If we believe God, it will affect our actions. Faith without works is dead. Faith also realizes the wonder of God. The ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. That's about 17,000 feet, 17,000 plus feet. That's a high altitude. From that altitude, Noah got to look out on the wonder of the cleansed creation of God. When the water receded, he opened up the windows, you know, and he let the birds out, the raven and the doves. And then when the water receded, he began to see the leaves of the trees and the grass and the rocks and all. And it was beautiful because not only was it God's creation, it was God's cleansed creation. And he saw the wonder of God. And I know he saw the wonder of God because of what he did. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 says, And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When he saw the wonder of God, he worshiped God. That's what we do. When we really see God's wonder, when we see His majesty, we worship Him. And so Noah, from that altitude, saw the wonder of God. Christian, I want you to know something. True faith will affect your altitude spiritually. By faith, we can overcome the difficulties of this life. I understand there are difficulties in this life. I got it. I experience them myself. I hear them from the people of our congregation. I pray with the people of our congregation. As much as I can, I try to walk through those times with you, and you walk through those times with each other. We're good at that. We understand the difficulties of life, but by faith we can elevate above them. By faith we can live on a higher plane. By faith we can overcome because Jesus has overcome and because He said we could. We believe His Word. By faith we see the wonder of God, and when we see the wonder of God, we worship God. And then, folks, there's the day coming when our faith will affect our altitude literally. Someday I'm going to heaven. I don't know about y'all. I think it's up there. I think it's higher than Mount Ararat. I think it's going to affect my altitude. In the book of Revelation, we've been going through some of the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. At the end of each and every one of those letters, there's a promise made to those who will overcome, to those who will remain faithful to the end. I want to quickly tell you those. Romans 2:7 promised that they would eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's heaven. The tree of life in the midst of heaven. Those who overcome, we get to eat of the fruit of that tree, so we're going to be there. Romans 2:11 promised that they would not be hurt of the second death. The second death is eternal death in hell. Those who remain faithful, listen, we don't have to go to hell. Aren't you glad? Romans 2:17 promised that they would eat of the hidden manna and that they would be given a white stone and a new name. In the Roman games that preceded the Olympic games, the victor in each event was given part of his award was a white stone. And on that stone was written a name. And he used that stone, the victor used that stone to get into the celebration at the end of the games. That was his ticket in. So two 17 promises that those who are overcome get a ticket to get into heaven, the celebration that is to come. Romans 2:28 promised that they would be given the morning star. That's a name for Jesus. Romans 3:5 promised that they would be clothed in white raiment, symbolizing purity, and that their names would not be blotted out of the book of life. And it's from the book of life that the names are read who are entered into heaven. Romans 3:12 promised that they would be made a pillar in the temple of God. And listen to this. Romans 3:21 promised that they would sit with Jesus in his throne. I never realized that. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to reign. That doesn't mean we're going to be on his throne. But we sit with Jesus on his throne. All of those are promises relating to heaven, the joys and the wonders of heaven. Someday, our faith will become sight. And we will see the wonders and the joys of heaven. And we will see the majesty of Almighty God on his throne. What kind of faith do you have? Do you believe in God or do you believe God? Does your faith move you to action? Does your faith affect your altitude spiritually? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. I ask you to be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Christians, sometimes don't we just need to tell God, well, God, I need you just to increase my faith. Sometimes we just have to be honest and say, boy, life is tough, things are hard, and it's hard for me to believe you right now, but I want to. Would you help me to believe you? Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning and have a conversation with God about your faith. That's perfectly fine. Somebody will come and pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You don't have faith at all. One of the joys of Jesus is that he gives us the faith that we need to believe in him, to have our sins forgiven, and to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can do that this morning. Just come, confess that you're a sinner, ask God to forgive you. He'll do it. Ask him to help you believe, and he'll do that too. You come while we sing.